Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
In last week's class, which we called King David's Pounding Heart, we identify David HaMelech's fear. So he starts off with tremendous optimism. He's not afraid of anybody. Nothing will stand in his way. Hashem is going to take care of him. Everything is going to be perfect. But then, David HaMelech does have a fear. And his fear is not his battles with enemies of flesh and blood, but his fear is battling with his Yetzer Hara. And here, David HaMelech expresses concern and fear. He talks about seeking out the countenance of Hashem. And today's class, which begins with verse 9, Pasuk Tes, picks up continuing that theme. But we're going to move into a tremendous amount of David HaMelech's optimism and hope. That's why I call today the audacity of hope. David HaMelech hopes regardless. Al taster ponecha mimeni. David HaMelech begins with a plea that Hashem should not conceal his face from him. In other words, since David HaMelech is seeking closeness to Hashem, since it's ponecha Hashem avakesh, I seek at your countenance, as we talked about last week, so therefore, al taster ponecha mimeni. Don't hide your countenance from me. In other words, that there should be no block between me and you, he says to Hashem. Don't allow anything to stand between us. Please, Hashem, you make sure that we could have a continued closeness. David HaMelech then says, Al tat be'af avdecha, which literally translates as, do not turn away your servant in anger. As Rashi says, that the word al tat, which literally, as I said, translates as turn away, Rashi explains, al tachriya, literally just to turn in the other direction. And what this means metaphorically is that there should be nothing like sin that causes Hashem to turn away from David HaMelech. When David HaMelech talks about the notion of Al-Tat, that you shouldn't turn away from him, so if you take a look in the Ibn Ezra, he says Al-Tat is not asking Hashem not to turn away, but rather this is the result of Hashem should not be turned away. Not don't turn away, don't be turned away. I should not be in a situation where I feel a distance between you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and between myself. The Malbim says that when we talk about this idea of Al-Taster and Al-Tat, that there are two distinctly different things being addressed. Al-Taster, do not conceal. Al-Tat, do not turn away. He says like this. Al-Taster, Parnecha, means that there shouldn't be any reason why Hashem doesn't want to be close to me. Al-Tat means that even if I behave inappropriately, that even if I, for whatever reason, have created something that will stand as a barrier between me and you, don't allow that to be a barrier. In other words, in every relationship, there are two reasons why things can go sour. It can go sour because of something that I did. It can go sour because of something that the other individual is going to choose to do. And David HaMelech covers his bases here. The first thing he says is Al Taster. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a plea. Please don't turn away from me. Don't hide your face from me. Number two is, and even if I fall short, and even if I'm creating a barrier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should nonetheless not turn away. And this is the idea of turning away in anger, which makes a lot of sense actually, because Al Tat Ba'af Avdecha. Even David HaMelech says, if I anger you, you still shouldn't turn away from me. And this is the request that David HaMelech makes. What does David HaMelech seek instead? He seeks the idea of Panim Sheichikas. He wants Hashem to be, so to speak, face to face with him. The Panim Yofa says that sometimes Almighty God will do very nice things for a very bad person. And we all have this big question. Why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, we don't know. That's the truth. But one of the answers, one of the explanations, at least in theory, when it's not something that you have to deal with yourself, is why would something bad happen to a good person, and why would something bad or good happen to a bad person? Like, why would that be? There's got to be some kind of logic to it. So the simple logic is that a person who's bad, Hashem says, everybody has some good. So I'll give them whatever good they need, I'll give it to them in this world. And then, after I finish paying off my bills, The person has earned their keep, and the Olam Haba, they're not going to have a part. Whereas the person who is good, but ain't tzaddik bar, it's a shalei yechta. There's nobody who's perfect. So therefore, you have a little bit of anguish, a little bit of uncomfortability or suffering in this world, and that cleanses you, and that removes the dross and the toxins and the impurities that were generated through sinful activity. And then when you come to the other world, so then it's a straight sailing, as they say. This is a famous concept. It's not unique to this chapter of Tehillim. But the Panim Yafa suggests something fascinating. He says, David HaMelech is concerned that even when he thinks it's good, maybe it's not good. Maybe Hashem is showing him, so to speak, a Panim Shechagas, a smiling face, which means everything is going fantastic. But it's not really because Hashem feels close to David HaMelech, or David HaMelech has cultivated and nurtured this close relationship, but rather because God says, oh, David HaMelech, you're not behaving very well. So here's what we're going to do. We'll give you some, a couple of candies. We'll take care of you now in this world, but I'm not really happy with you. In the other world, then we'll have to deal with things in a truthful fashion. And that's what David HaMelech doesn't want. He said, don't conceal your face from me, but also don't turn away from me. And anger means that there's two possibilities that could happen. One is that Hashem is concealing his face. Concealing face doesn't mean something bad. It means he's not being straightforward. Sometimes you could be upset with somebody, and you, for whatever reason, you choose to present a smile. You don't choose to be straightforward and honest. That is not indicative of a good relationship, by the way. When we have to pick a poker face, or even a smiling face, for whatever reason, we just don't want to deal with the circumstances. So we make believe everything's fine. Is it really fine? No, it's not fine at all. How was I supposed to know, says the husband? My wife was smiling, I didn't know. Okay, welcome to the world of people trying to get along and all kinds of issues. Invariably, when people want a good relationship, what they want more than anything else is, just tell me straight. Tell me straight. Say it as it is. Tell me what it is, and then we can deal with it. But you make it seem one way, and really it's another way. So the first thing David HaMelech says, Altaste Panecha. Altaste Panecha, says the Panim Yafa, doesn't mean that it's going to be something bad, something terrible is going to happen. But it shouldn't be a concealment of face. It shouldn't be a face which is, I think, one thing. The reality is very different. That's number one. Number two, altat ma'avavdecha. The other way that Hashem could deal with somebody who behaves inappropriately is they feel the wrath of God. And David HaMelech says, please, not either one. Not either one. Hashem should be, in our relationship, there should be, I should know what I do wrong or what I do right. I should have a sense of clarity. But at the same time, even when I do something which is wrong, Hashem shouldn't express that in anger, but rather with kindness. And David HaMelech, what does he want? He wants to be close to Hashem. And he knows that he makes mistakes, and he knows he's not perfect. But this is what he's pleading. This is his prayer. That's his concern. That's his fear. And that's what he's davening for now. And in some way, every one of us has the same situation, assuming that we want to have a relationship with Hashem. So if we take that relationship seriously, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Altaste Panecha Mimeni, as well we also ask, Altat Ba'afavdecha. Instead, one second. So David HaMelech now says, why do I turn to God for everything? Why can somebody else help me? So who are the people who are closest to a person? Who usually, not always, but usually, in a normal situation, who does more for you than anybody in the world? Your parents. So David HaMelech says, Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. Because my father and mother, they let go of me. But v'Hashem yasfeni. God will take care of me. So even when my parents are not thinking about me, Hashem is still there to gather me up. Now this is a very unusual pasuk. The truth is I skipped, I apologize. We didn't finish pasuk tes. Sorry, I carried it to Panim Yafas. let's go back to pasuk tes and we'll go to pasuk yud in a minute. David HaMelech now says, Al titcheni, do not abandon me. V'al tazveni, do not forsake me. Lekei Yishi, the God of my salvation. So David HaMelech here responds by asking Hashem not to turn away from him entirely. And Radak says that when we talk about the concept of the as that Hashem shouldn't leave me behind entirely. So he says, first of all, the preamble to that word is Al Tat Ba'af Avdecha Ezrasi, that Hashem shouldn't turn away from me, who is really my helper. And because I seek that Hashem should be my helper, therefore Al Techeni, don't forsake me, Al Tazveni, don't leave me behind. So the Malbim says, what is the meaning over here of Al Techeni Va Al Tazveni? He says there's two levels here. Netisha, he says, is more than aziva. And therefore, he says like this. Ticheni means don't forsake me entirely. And Tazveni says, even if you don't forsake me entirely, but Al Tazveni, don't leave me alone either. In other words, David HaMelech wants to be close to Hashem all the time. There's two ways. Personally, I feel very close to Hashem. I feel like I have a very, very deep and profound and meaningful relationship with God. Now, another person, I feel like God has abandoned me. Another person said, I don't feel God has abandoned me, but I don't feel God is really with me. I don't really think he feels my pain. I don't really think he's thinking about me. I don't think he's helping me really. And therefore, we have these two different, like it's staged. Interestingly enough, the Al-Sheikh says they also mean two different things, but he turns it away the other way. He says, Aziva means leaving me behind altogether. He says, Ticheni means it's like a partial estrangement. I'm leaving you, but not entirely. So however you want to take it, look, the Al-Sheikh really is a Rishon, he comes much before the Malbim, but the point is, this is staged. David HaMelech says, don't leave me behind entirely, and don't even leave me a little bit. I want to maintain my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100%. Now, you remember, of course, that when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, Ezrasi Ayisa, that Hashem is my help, that the whole point here of not leaving me behind is that David HaMelech says, you helped me materially before, and the beginning of the chapter Tehillim, I was very certain I could be victorious in all my battles, everything's going to work out. So that Hadak says, now I'm asking for Ezrascha B'tzarcha and Nefesh. Now I'm asking for your help on a spiritual level, which is the second half of this chapter of Tehillim. Yishaitoni Mitzora, he says, you help me from my enemies. Now he says, Kein Toshieni Me'amal Haguf. Now help me, save me from myself now. And that's the double expression. Okay. Go back to Pasuk now. Ki avi v'im yazavuni, v'Hashem yasfeini. My parents have abandoned me, but Hashem has gathered me in. So the range of understanding this begins like from the earliest moment of conception until the end of life when our parents are no longer with us. Rashi says, avi v'im yazavuni means at the time of conception. That the moment, how is a child conceived? When the parents are close. And the moment after, he says, they're already each doing their own thing. They forgot about me already. But, he said, but Hashem didn't forget about me. They were involved. They were engaged for a fleeting moment just to get me started. And then they turn away, he says. They turn away from each other. But Hashem yasfeini. God takes care of me from that moment. There's never a time when God is not looking over me. So Rashi kind of says, this is... This is what we come to expect, that anybody who's there for us will be there for us to a degree. Even our parents, they're there for us to a degree. But who is there for us eternally and always? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what a Yid has to know, that Hashem is always with him, in the best of circumstances and the worst of circumstances. A Yid is never alone. There's a very, very well-known rabbi, whose name is Rabbi Nissim Mangel. He's a child survivor of Auschwitz. He has unbelievable stories. But his basic theme of all of his talks is, a Yid is never alone. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him going to hell and back, from coming from the ghetto to Auschwitz, to escaping Mengele, to the death marches. His point, his thing is, what kept him going is, a Yid is never alone. And this is really what David HaMelech is conveying to us, when he says, Avivim Yazavuni. Zugezunt. All right, so Rashi says this from the very beginning. That's the way life is. From the moment of conception, the parties who were involved, and then they turn away. The other Mefarshim talk about things on, you know, as you get old. Like the Ibn Ezra says, my parents, he says, where Siba is boil by Ilam Hazeh. That's what, pardon me, for the Ibn Ezra. Let's go first go to what the let's talk about the Radak and the Sepharno. So Radak and Sepharno say that my parents were there for me, but then Achashi Yitzasi Migidulam, after I was no longer being raised, I'm already a big boy, you're a big girl already, you got raised. So at that point, who continues to give you the strength that you need? The answer is Hashem. And the Sepharno says something very similar. He says our parents provide for us to a certain degree. At a certain degree, the parents can't do for you anymore. At a certain point, the only one who continues to help you directly at all times, always, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ibn Ezra, he speaks in futuristically entirely. He says, Avi v'imi azavuni is not to be understood as in now that they leave me. They will eventually leave me. And he says there's a biblical parallel. When Avraham Avinu wants to purchase the Machpelah, he says, Nasati kesef hasodeh kach mimeni. I gave the money, take it from me. But he didn't give the money yet. He's trying to convince the people to take the money. He wants Ephron Hachitite. He wants them to take the money so he can purchase Maris HaMachpelah. So why does he say Nasati? It's as if I gave it. It's as if I'm so ready to give it, Rashi says there. It's as if I gave it already. Just take it. Just let's move on. So Ibn Ezra says over here, when it says, Ki av vimi azavuni, my parents have left me, it doesn't mean they have left me. There's David HaMelech speaking to everybody. It could be a child who's reading this Tillim. It could be a person who's a young adult reading the Tillim. It's very possible that somebody who's reading the Tillim still has their parents who are alive. This Tillim is not made for people who pass the age of, when people normally lost their parents. He's talking to everybody. But Azavuni means, he says, since in the end, I will not have my parents forever. Most parents will be predeceased by their parents, we hope. That's how it should be. So at a certain point, I'm not going to have my parents with me anymore. And who will be with me? Vashem Yasveini. So David HaMelech is giving us a perspective on life. Everybody who's there for you, they'll be there for you to a degree, to a certain point. At a certain point, even your parents can't be there for you. But Hashem Yosfeini, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be there for us. That's just on a literal level. On a level of Drush, so there's a very interesting teaching that with regard to this notion of your parents' abandonment. In the Tilus Maritz it says that David HaMelech is speaking about a time when Tamu Zechut Avot, when the merit of grandparents no longer is applicable. You know, we're just coming from Yom Kippur, and over there we talked about Zechut Avot. We say Zechor Rachamecha, Hashem should remember. Remember the Brit, remember the Covenant. We talk much about the merit of parents, that we ride on the merit and the strength of yesteryear. So he says, even when Avivim Azavuni, which means even when I'm no longer able to access the Zechut Avot has run out, even then, Hashem Yasfeini, Hashem continues to take care of me. Shlomo Kluger said, what does it mean? How could it be the schus of us run out? The schus of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, of Sar Rivka Rachel Leah never runs dry. So he says, it doesn't mean that the schus runs out. It means that I'm not able to lean on that zuchut for whatever reason. Why wouldn't you be able to? Because he says, I'm not living like a proper Ben Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. I'm not living like a Bat Sar Rivka Rachel Leah. So maybe I'm in a position where their zuchut is not going to work for me because I'm not properly identifying as their progeny. Even so, he says, even a person who has a situation, she'einikir al b'nei Yisrael, she'en b'nei Avos, that you're talking about Jewish people in a situation where it's not recognizable where they come from. You don't see the imprinture of parents. Nonetheless, Hashem Yosfeini, Hashem still continues to take care of us. Why? Mirev Rachamov, because of Hashem's mercy. So this means that David HaMelech says, regardless of what happens, and it doesn't make a difference what kind of situation I'm in. Even when Avivim Azavuni, which means now in a figurative sense, even when I'm no longer able to lay claim to the merit of patriarchs and matriarchs, fathers and mothers, proverbially speaking, even then, Vashem Yasfeini. So David HaMelech's continued hope is only in Hashem. Only in Hashem. and everything else disappears, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is left. The Rebbe explains this in a very, very interesting way. He takes it even further. He takes this idea of Avot Imot, and he says, in a mystical level, father and mother is not talking about parentage at all. In fact, there is a part of my neshama which is likened to parents, and a part of my neshama which is likened to offspring. So anybody who is familiar with learning Chassidus little knows that intelligence is like parentage. Chachma is considered the male counterpart, a seminal idea. It seeds, it inspires, it ignites, it begins a process. Bina is the development of an idea, and the development of an idea gives way to midos, which means emotional involvement, which is referred to in the colloquial language of mysticism as the children, as the offspring. So again, a person has an idea, and then the idea gets developed. That's the metaphor of a father and a mother. And in fact, Chochmah is considered Av in Kabbalah, and Bina is considered Aim, like it says, Aim Habonim. The idea of the concept of Bina is a feminine trait. Chochmah, which is an aggressive and very, very swift and creative burst, but no stamina. That's the concept of male representation. So he says there's a possibility that for whatever reason, a Yid loses his Chochmah and Bina. He's not functioning normally. He loses his ability to have clarity, he loses his ability to understand the situation. His midas, his emotional involvement in Yiddishkeit is lost. He's very detached. So he says, nonetheless, it's still possible that Hashem Yazveni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called in the scripture and in Lashon HaChazal, Hashem is called Rechev Aravis, which literally means that he rides rides the heights. You know, that's the literal meaning. But the word Aravis doesn't only mean the heavenly heights. It comes in Hebrew from the word of Iruv. Iruv means to mix together, to take opposing sides, and to be able to create some kind of commonality between the two. Or in the language of Chassidus, you can have opposites, and aravos means to be able to bridge the opposites. Two things which, on a simple level, we don't see how they can operate together at all. So here, we have a situation of Ovi ve'imi azavuni, which, as we said, could refer to meichin and midos. It refers to my functionality, my spiritual system is not working. I'm not able to emote because I'm not even able to think. And in that case, I feel that I'm lost. So he says, nonetheless, Havai Yosfeini. Why? Or how does that work? If I'm not functioning, if I can't think clearly and I can't emote, so by what is the virtue of this relationship? How are we having? What is the currency of our relationship? Every relationship has to have some kind of framework that it operates within. So, for example, if you came to the gas station, your relationship with the one who's filling the gas is that he can fill the gas. That's your relationship with him. It doesn't mean you have a relationship with him. Relationship is how I relate. So what happens if you come to the gas station and you want the person to fill up your gas, but there's no gas in the pump? So what happens to your relationship? It no longer exists because your relationship was only pump deep. It was only as long as there's gas, we have a relationship. If there's no gas, we have no relationship. It's over. And so it is, fill in the blanks. Every relationship has its framework, a framework that it operates within. And what happens if that relationship is now void of whatever, A, B, C, D, whatever it is that fills that relationship? We don't really have a relationship. So if somebody is not functioning, non-functioning, a person could feel connected, feel responsible to take care, but they're not actually having a relationship because there's no give and take. What is the content of the relationship? There has to be a content. If we're missing content, if there's void of content, then there's no relationship. So what if somebody has no spiritual consciousness? They're not mentally or cerebrally aware of God. They don't feel any passion, any fervor, any warmth for Judaism. They feel totally disconnected. So is there a relationship? Is there any hope? How do you know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Rechav HaRavos, that's why. Because Avivimi Azavuni means my system is coming up dead. I'm spiritually comatose. But Havayi Yasfeini. So it's never lost. Why? Because that's the nature of Yud Kevavke. That's the nature of Shema Etzem, the ineffable reality of divinity, which transcends that kind of superficial reality. That's a very profound statement. So David HaMelech could be speaking about a moment in which he doesn't function, but he could be speaking really for all of us. That a Yid has to know that even if a Yid reaches a point where there is no Yiddishkeit that's functioning, you don't see any sign of life. Nonetheless, v'havayi yosfeini. And these are the stories of Pintel Yid, and people come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they want to feel a connection, and they can't explain themselves why they want to feel that connection. V'havayi yosfeini. Like I mentioned recently, Elie Wiesel says that right after liberation, after they threw themselves off some food, the next thing he wanted to do was pray. He says, till today, he can't explain why he wanted to do that. Because if they felt an emotion to God, it was anger, abandonment. They felt they had absolutely no feeling of desire to have any kind of closeness to Hashem. Understandably. It's not for any of us to judge what they went through. And nonetheless, he says, the first thing he wanted to do is have a prayer service. So this is the idea of Avivim Yazavuni, V'Hashem, V'Havai Yasveini. So we learned about it on many different levels. Bottom line, the common denominator of all the different ways of understanding this is, with Hashem there's always hope. That's it. That is our last hope, our only hope. That's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David HaMelech now continues to make his request. After he's expressed this extraordinary hope in Hashem, and he says, regardless of what happens, I never ever lose my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he continues in Pasuk Yud, and he says, pardon me, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in verse 11, David HaMelech says, Hayreini Hashem Darkecha. So God, show me your way. Unecheini Be'erech Mishar. And you should please guide me on a straight path. Laman Sheiderai. We're going to see in a moment, Laman Sheiderai means because of those who are out there to get me. What does this mean? So first things first. When we say in Tehillim, Hayreini Hashem Darkecha, that Hashem should show me his way, what does this mean? What does it mean Hashem should show me his way? A moment later I say, Unecheini, and he should guide us, Be'erech Mishar, on a straight path. What is the way, and what is the straight path? So, the simple meaning is that a derech is a path that everybody goes on. That's what we call in English the highway, the boulevard, the main thoroughfare. That's a derech. What is a path? A path is usually more personal. People have their own little pathways. So there's the public thoroughfares and there's the pathways. So David HaMelech says, Hayreini es darkecha. And there are similar expressions elsewhere in Tehillim, by the way. So he says, show me the way. Show me what's right. A lot of times, we don't have clarity. I don't know which way to travel. It's not clear to me. Show me which is the right path. That's number one. And then I say, then I need to go into my individual way. Because there's always my specific pathway, and that specific pathway, that's what I need to do. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says something fascinating. He says the truth is that everybody has freedom of choice. And God doesn't force anybody to do anything. And nobody even has a propensity, a preponderance to good or to evil. No such thing. You have the choice to make. But he says, we do get Hashem's help. So the Rambam says, in the fourth halacha of Hilchos Tshuva, of the sixth chapter, he says, this is the request, he says, of tzaddikim, of the truly righteous, and of the neviim. And they ask Hashem to help them. For example, he says, K'moisha Amar David, like David HaMelech says, and he references our chapter of Tehillim. Hayreini na es drachecha. And what does that mean? Pardon me. Hayreini Hashem darkecha. Kiloimer means, al yimneunai chatoai derecha emes. It means that my sins shouldn't turn me off the path which is true, the true path. Shemimena eida darkecha v'yichud shimcha. Not only my sins should not turn me off, but through my negative experiences, I should find the right way home. We can learn from every mistake. Or you can keep repeating the mistake. So David HaMelech says, I want to learn from my mistakes. And I want that I should be able to find the pathway. So I ask Hashem to help me, to help guide me onto the pathway. So we see that there is the concept of a pathway, and then that there is the need for assistance, or the possibility for assistance. And that's what David HaMelech is praying for. Now, interestingly enough, when we talk about this notion of guide me on your path or not, so the Akedah says like this. The truth is that there are different pathways or different roads that lead to Hashem. There are different ways of serving Hashem. You can go back to leaving Mitzrayim, where the Jewish people had to cross the Red Sea in 12 different ribbons, because each shevet has its method of avodas Hashem. And there are those who excel cerebrally, and those who excel emotionally, and those who excel in an active level and being able to do things. And within emotion itself, there are those who serve Hashem with ahava, with exuberance and joy. There are those who do better serving Hashem with reverence and with awe. Those who are really good at being very exact and very punctual about everything. And there are those who do much better at being freewilling and serve Hashem with excitement and fervor. Everybody, there are different ways of serving Hashem. What is the true path to serve Hashem? So the first thing David HaMelech says is, Hareini Hashem darkecha, show me your way. The first thing he wants to know is, what is the way to Hashem? And then he says, even when I find the way to Hashem, unecheini be'erech misher, guide me along the straight path that I need. There's a straight path that my own avedus, my own deficiencies, shouldn't in some way serve as an obstacle in not allowing me to get where I have to get. You know, the Sefer HaTanya, which is the foundational work of Chassidus Chabad, is based on this idea that kikar v'lecha adaver ma'id, that this pathway to Hashem is exceedingly close to you. And then Alter Rebbe adds a word. He says bederech, in a way that is. There's two ways. He says there's a way which is close but far, and a way which is far but close. He says this is bederech arucha uktsara. It's far but close. What does that mean? So the origin of this is a story from the Talmudic times of a man who meets a child, a Yelad Yerushalmi, who were known to be the very smart Jerusalem children, and he said to the child, how do I get into town? So he said, this is the short, long way, and that is the long, short way. He says, what are you speaking riddles to me? What kind of narishkeit is this? Just tell me which way is shorter. He said, this is a kilometer, and that's 5 kilometers. So finish, I go the kilometer. And he starts going on the way, and all of a sudden the paving ends. And not only the pavement ends, all of a sudden boulders start, and then there's thistles, and there's all kinds of obstacles. And by the time he gets there, he's already half broken, and he comes up against a brick wall. He has to go all the way back, and the other way is 5 kilometers. But it's a straight pathway, it's paved, and it leads straight into the main city gates. So there's a derech arucha uktsara, and a derech ktsara varucha. There are short ways. There are ways to stimulate your avas Hashem, your love for Hashem, and your reverence for Hashem in a quick way. But in the end, you don't get to your destination. And when you do get to your destination, there's a lot of cuts and bruises and falls along the way. And then there's a way which takes the long way. The way of Chabad is definitely not the easy way. To be a serious Oved Hashem, to really serve Hashem, and to do it as the Alter Rebbe ordains it for us in Chassidus Chabad, is definitely a long way, but it's a derech yishara. So perhaps this is also what's going on when we talk about Hareini Hashem darkecha, show me your way, but unecheini be'erech mishar, I want the pathway to be straight. And the truth is there are different paths. There are different paths to serving Hashem. And each and every one of us echoes the sentiment of David HaMelech, and we say, Unecheini be'erech misher. Find for me the straight way. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should find a way that works best, and it gets me to my destination, which is to have a sense of communion with Hashem. And all of this, why? Leman sheiderei. I should do all of this, in other words, like, because of those who are out to get me. First of all, what does the word sheiderei mean? How do we know that? How do we know the word means those who are out to get me? So the Mitzudas Tzion says Shayderei, and its root is Inyan Habater. Those who are staring at me. He says it comes to the word Shur, and he says Ratzalaymer. He means to say Ha'oivim Hamabitim Alei Ba'Ayin Ra. There are people who have an evil eye for me. They're looking. They're staring. They're waiting for me to stumble and fall. They're rooting for my failure. And the Mitzvot David says, Kishe akoshel bedakei Hashem, when I stumble in my way to Hashem, so then yismuchu sheiderei, they will rejoice. My enemies rejoice. They exult. Ha! David HaMelech failed. Or as the Radak says, sheiderei oivim hamabitim oisi, enemies who stare at me, ba'ayin ra, with an evil eye. V'heim choshvim, they are saying, ki ein li chelik ba'Hashem. So what does this mean? There were many people who said that David HaMelech is a bad person. Specifically, there was a man whose name was Doeg HaAdomi. Doeg HaAdomi came and he cursed David. There was Shimon Beit Gera. There was people who cursed David. And they said horrible things about David HaMelech. And they said he will never have a monarchy and his progeny will never remain righteous. And in the end, David HaMelech will be destroyed. And he's not a good person. He masquerades. He looks like a tzaddik, but really he's a rasha. David had many, many detractors. Sometimes we feel we have detractors. Not everybody's a friend. Not everybody wants us to succeed. And David HaMelech says, despite what anybody may be saying, what I ask of Hashem is, you show me the right path. You guide me along the right way. Laman Shayri kind of means, despite the fact that I have all these detractors should not in any way influence me. The fact that they may stare or look one way or another should not in any way turn me off the path of righteousness. And the highway, so to speak, that leads me to communion, to oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the request of David HaMelech here. Now David HaMelech goes further, and after making this request, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he acknowledges that at the end of the day, Hashem is his only hope. And he asks Hashem to continue to guide him, they should be able to follow the proper path. Now he says, Al titneini b'nefesh tzoroi, ki komu bi eidei sheker v'yifei achamos. Do not give me up, b'nefesh, the Mefarshim explain is like the will, like it says, im yesh es nafshecha, it says, if you will, if you want. He says, don't give me up to the will of my enemies. Ki komu bi eidei sheker, because there are many people who bear false testimony against me. V'yifei achamos, and they breathe violence. V'yifeach comes from the word v'yipach. So they breathe chamas with violence against me. And therefore David HaMelech is asking, not only I should be guided in the right path, but I shouldn't be given up to the will of those who torment me, those who seek to bring me down. B'nefesh tzoyderoi, so this David says, l'hasig bi ta'avosim v'ritzoinam, that they should not get what they want, what they're looking for. The Yifei HaChamas, he says, literally means those who breathe violence, but it means HaMedabrim Alayv Divrei Chamas. They speak words of violence against me. So those who speak words of that, they have, B'nefesh Tzori means their desires. They want to hurt David HaMelech. They want to bring David HaMelech down. And they're also Yifei HaChamas, they speak against David HaMelech. So all of these people should in no way be able to hurt David and to deter him from his path. B'nefesh, as the Mitzvot Tzion says, is beratzon k'meish yeshes nafshechem, which is Avraham Avinu speaking to the people of Chevron when he wants to buy Barasa Machpelah. Yeshes nafshechem is if you want. V'yifeach, he says, the idea of dibur, because when you speak, ba'afachas ruach hapeh, when a person speaks, so then there's a large amount of breath going on. When you speak, and especially when you speak forcefully, especially if a person speaks violence, so then there's forceful breath that's being exhaled. So David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to guide him that he shouldn't fall into the hands of these individuals. Rather, or how does David HaMelech, how does he survive, so to speak? So David concludes like this. Lule hemanti lireis betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Had I not believed in seeing God's goodness in the land of living, kind of says, I would have given up a long time ago. So, lulei means, literally, had I not. That's what it means. Lulei if not, had I not. And there are a number of luleis in the Torah. The most famous lulei in the actual Chumash is when the children of Yaakov say to their father that lulei hismamonu, if not you holding us back. He was afraid to send Binyamin. He didn't know what was going on in Egypt. Lulei hismamonu, if you wouldn't have held us back, we would have already come back twice. Shavna zepamoyim, we could have come, gone and come back. We could have been bringing provisions. Because lulei means the problem is you're holding us back. So here David HaMelech is using the same terminology. He says, Lulei had, Lulei Hamanti, had he not believed, meaning had I not been so certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care of me, so then I would not have been able to overcome these challenges from behind me. I wouldn't be able to overcome my enemies. Who is he speaking about, Radak says? Then these Edei Sheker, then these false witnesses, then these Medabri B'chamas, these people who are speaking words of violence, I would have been lost from their words. I wouldn't have been able to maintain my stamina. I would not have been able to keep having hope. However, Hemanti sheyesh li tikva. I never lost my hope. Everybody was against me. I never lost hope. Ve'era betuva lo'ilam haba. I knew I would see the goodness of Hashem. And Radak translates ilam haba as the world to come. Eretz HaChaim, he says. And he says the truth is, that even though Olam Haba refers to Gan Eden, he says there is a parallel in this world too. And Radak says something fascinating. He says that the word Gehenim, everybody's familiar with that, right? He says there was actually a place outside Yerushalayim. It's still there, by the way. It's the only area in the old part of Yerushalayim that's not built up at all. There's no development ever happened there. It's fascinating. And this was never a developed area. It was always an empty valley. It was always filled with rotting garbage and carcasses and impurity. And there was always fires going there. It was like a big landfill. And it was a horrible place. It smelled terrible. It was always filled with the most disgusting of things, with fire burning constantly. And that was called Guy Ben Hinnom. That's the name of this place. So therefore, when people heard that you go, the neshamas go, and the neshamas get lost, and they become, you know, like they get discarded. So in their minds, when they had to come up with an image of a picture for what would happen to a bad person, to a Russia, when he goes to the other world, what was the best place they could have thought of? They said, oh, Guy Ben Hinnom. So Guy Ben Hinnom got shortened, and it came to the word Gehenim. Gehinnom. That's where Gehenim comes from. So Radak says, just like this idea of Gehenim, in this world, which is a physical example in the city of Yerushalayim, which became a parable, a metaphor for the fires of hell, so to speak. People imagine, when they had to think of hell, they thought of that. Says, oh, that go to hell. That was the worst place they could imagine. So therefore, he says, also, when you talk about Eretz HaChaim, you talk about the land of the living, he says, the truth is Gan Eden was once a part of this world. What kind of place was it? A perfect place. A beautiful place. And he says, of course, there's a parallel spiritually as well. So David HaMelech says, Eretz HaChaim, he refers to the land of life, he refers like to a metaphor of perfect life here in this world. That's really, he's referring to Olam Haba. So why does he call it Eretz HaChaim? He calls it Eretz HaChaim because that's the metaphor, that's the example of a perfect living, a perfect life, the neshama going out to live a perfect life, as we colloquially refer to heaven. Everything must be wonderful in heaven. You know, people want to make it to heaven. So this is the idea. In other words, David HaMelech here expresses the audacity of hope. That's the truth. He says, everything was stacked against me. People were against me. David HaMelech had failings. And because of this, he felt he would never, ever be redeemed. And nonetheless, he continued to maintain his hope. What was his hope? His hope is Hashem. And that, my dear friends, is the hope of every Yid. Regardless of how our circumstances unfold, regardless of how difficult things are for us, a Yid lives by the hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem promised me it will be good. It has to be good. As long as we are seeking a relationship with Hashem. As long as what we're worried about is Darkecha, the way to come to Hashem. It's interestingly, some of the Mefarshim note is connected to the idea of B'chol D'rochecha Da'ehu, in all of your ways you should know Hashem. Hereini Nerez Darkecha also becomes a euphemism, kind of saying, help me know your way, which means help me know in all of my ways. Help me figure out or realize in every circumstance that I'm in, how through this I should be able to come to Hashem. Because really, B'chol D'rochecha, in all of your ways, you can come to know Him. That's the request of David HaMelech. If that's what you're looking for, if you're looking to know Hashem, if you want Necheini B'erich Misha, you want to go on a straight path, and you have the right ideas, and you have the right desires, and you have the right goals in mind, then regardless of what's going on around you, you never lose hope. Because Hashem will never abandon you. Everybody will abandon you. Parents will abandon you. Hashem will never abandon you. David HaMelech then concludes. Well, before we go on to conclude, I should tell you, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, that there is a Gemara that reads the words lule differently. There is a Gemara that says that the words lule hemanti really could be read loy hemanti. I didn't believe. I didn't believe it ever make it. Questions. Well, this is a very hard Gemara. It doesn't fit the trajectory of this chapter of Tillim. How do you understand it? So the way we understand the Gemara is like Yaakov Avinu, that he was afraid. Was he afraid? Hashem promised him everything's going to be good. He says, Shema Yigre Machet. He was afraid of sin. He was afraid maybe he was undeserving. And that fear stayed with David. He says, Lule Hamanti, like Lule Hamanti. I didn't believe, but not because I was afraid of what the other people would say. The only reason I didn't believe, the only reason I had doubts is because I didn't know maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe I wasn't living the way I'm supposed to be living. Just like Yaakov Avinu had a doubt. In other words, this like throws us back to the previous class. What's David HaMelech's only real fear? At the end, what's his only real fear? Only real fear is sin. That's the only thing he's really afraid of. Other than maybe I did the wrong thing, David HaMelech's not afraid of anything. And therefore, David HaMelech never lost hope. Like, it's like, lo yamante, because of sin, because that's what you're worried about. Oh, then everything's okay. There's a story that once the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, wanted a certain chassid to become a sheikhet. A ritual slaughter for make sure it's kosher meat. So he said to the Rebbe, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do it because it's such a big responsibility. Maybe I'll make a mistake and because of me, somebody will not kosher meat. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, so who should be a sheikhet? The person who's not afraid. In other words, if that's what David HaMelech is afraid of, if that's the loy hemanti, he's afraid, oh, maybe I sinned, maybe I'm not living up. Luli hemanti. Then you can be sure in the faith of Hashem. If that's your only fear, then you have nothing to fear. The another person once came to the Tzemach Tzadik and says, Rebbe, I have a terrible problem. I have doubts in Hashem. I have doubts. I keep thinking, is there a God? How could there be a God? It doesn't make sense to me. So the Tzemach Tzadik said, and this bothers you? He says, bothers me terribly. In that case, he says, nothing to worry about. if that's the Lo Yamanti, maybe Shema Yigre Machet, not that Lo Yamanti, maybe God doesn't care about me, maybe God doesn't know about me, maybe mitzvahs are meaningless, maybe the whole world doesn't make any sense. No, that's not what David HaMelech didn't believe. What was his Lo Yamanti? Lo Yamanti was, am I measuring up? Oh, in that case, Luli Yamanti. Had I not believed, for sure, he will come to Eretz HaChaim. And David HaMelech concludes this chapter of Tillim with the most audacious declaration of hope. And this becomes the guidepost, the shining light for every Yid in every situation, regardless of what's going on. Kaveh El Hashem. A Jew must never lose hope in Hashem. Keep hoping to Hashem. Chazak v'yametz libecha. You have to let your heart be strengthened. And then, v'kaveh El Hashem. And keep hoping to Hashem. Okay, so this sounds like a little redundant. What's going on over here? Kavi al Hashem. So, Rashi tells us that this idea of Kavi al Hashem is based, I mean, Rashi's comments as well as the Ibn Ezra are based on the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says, Omer Rab Chomer Bachanina. On page 32b, the Gemara says, Rab Chomer Bachanina said, Im ispalel Adam, a person prayed, V'leinen, it wasn't answered. So what do you do? So he says, Yahzav Yispal. Then you go back and pray some more. How do you know? Because it says, in Tehillim, Kavi al Hashem, Chazak v'yametz libecha, v'kavi al Hashem. So this is the idea that we never lose hope. Just like that other Gemara in Brachas that tells us that when Yeshayahu HaNavi told Chizkiyo that there was no hope left, so Chizkiyo said, now I'm not going to listen to you anymore because I have a tradition from my grandfather David that a Yid never gives up hope. Afilu cherev chadem unachas al tzavarecha, even a sharp sword is resting on your neck, al yimna atzmin arachmim, we don't give up hope. We're not in the business of giving up hope. That's all. We're in the business of hope. That's what we peddle. And that's what we live by. And there's always hope. You always hope for a better tomorrow. You always hope for a better future. We always hope, and then when we finish hoping, we start hoping again. This is the real audacity of hope. We never ever give up hope, regardless of what happens. As Rashi says, "Kavil Hashem Chazak V'Amitz Lebecha V'Im Loi Tekabel Tfilascha." Your prayers were not answered. You prayed for something, it didn't happen. So he said, well, it didn't happen. I guess I'm not going to pray anymore. No, he says, Chazer v'kave. You go right back to hoping all over again. This idea of kavi al Hashem chazak v'yametz libecha, of a yid always has to be, so to speak, strong and always has to have a certain sense of hope, or in different words, that we never give up hope, means, says the Malbum, that through trust in Hashem, which is called bitachon, that itself strengthens your heart. Kavi el Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecha. Your hope in Hashem will give you courage. And then, once you have that hope in Hashem, and once you have a strengthened heart, so then what happens is, then you have even more hope. Hope, it's like, in other words, it continues to get stronger, not to get weaker. And the Malbim says, you know what happens when a person places his trust in people? You hope in this one, you hope in that one, and you get, your hopes are dashed, and you get disappointed one time, two times, three times. You feel frustrated, and in the end, it's a sour feeling, he says. But when a yid lives with hope in Hashem, even when he feels he was let down, even when Hashem didn't answer his prayers, but instead of the hopes being dashed, it's the hope itself that continues to sustain a yid. So when you have a situation, you hope in something, you hoped in something and it isn't anymore. But when you hope in Hashem, there's no such possibility. Since your hope is in Hashem, then the hope continues to give you more hope. And that continues to strengthen you. And this is something which is, in other words, Shetiyah b'atikva tamid, you'll always have hope. As long as the yid has faith in Hashem and trust in Hashem, he'll always have hope. Which on one hand, it's very appropriate that, you know, Israel should make a national anthem and they should call it HaTikva. It makes perfect sense. The tragedy is they forgot to put Hashem's name in there. And that's a tragedy. That's a huge tragedy. How could you have hope? The whole point of David Mel's point is, how do you have Kaveh El Hashem V'chazik V'yametz Libecha? Because Kaveh El Hashem! The way a Yid is hoping, people say, I have hope in myself, I believe in myself. Baloney. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Our hope is only in Hashem. A hope that doesn't include Hashem is not a hope. That's not the hope that sustains us. So the name is a good name. The idea is a good idea. The content is totally skewed. It's missing the point. A yid lives with that kind of hope. So just to conclude with an interesting connection to the high holidays, there is a commentary that says like this. Kavi El Hashem. A yid starts off with hope. That is Rosh Hashanah. Because we say this during the high holidays, right? He lives with hope. He builds up the hope for Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is going to give me good judgment. And then he's a little nervous after Rosh Hashanah. So what does he have? Aser Shemei Tshuva. And what do you do then? Chazek V'yametz Libecha. Be very strong at Aser Shemei Tshuva. And then we get back to Yom Kippur. What should we be doing on Yom Kippur? Again, upbeat. Kaveh Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is not allowed to be a morose day. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Ichlu Mashmanim. Shuvam Takim has to be a joyous day. A joy when we eat well and we drink well. It's a celebration. It's a Yom Tif. In the middle of Aser Shemei Tshuva, we got a fast day, and it gets a little bit worrisome days a little bit. But then we get back to Yom Kippur. What do we have to have? We have to be in Yom Kippur? Again, Kavi El Hashem. Because Yom HaKippurim is called Eretz HaChayim. Yom HaKippurim is being in the land of the living. As I spoke on Yom Kippur, that the Zohar says Yom Kippur is like being in Elam Haba. So when you're in Elam Haba, then there's a tremendous amount of hope. Then the Yid is totally elevated. There's a teaching from our sages, and the Medrash that says like this: Shema Taimar Avar Katzir Kola Kayetz. The harvest season has passed. The summer season has passed. V'nachnu le'nishanu. Hashem still hasn't answered us. Think about it, metaphorically, you know, euphemistically. 1900 years. Mashiach didn't come yet. So what's the future? How do we continue to move forward? And the answer is Kavi El Hashem. We continue to hope in Hashem. Chazak v'yametz libecho v'kavi El Hashem. Tikva achar tikva. Hope upon hope. Chazek v'yametz libecha will only continue to strengthen your heart. Im kivitem v'lo nishantem, if you hoped and you were not saved, kivui v'shuvi v'kivi, then hope and go back and hope again. And that is David HaMelech's eternal legacy to us. He never gave up hope, and we, the Jewish people, never give up hope. There's a silly little story that I once heard. I heard it from Yisrael Shem Tov. It's a story of Maisala, but it's a very profound little story. The story is, there was once two Yiddish mice, and they were looking for cheese, and they fell into a big jug of milk. No, Yiddish mice, and they fell into a big jug of milk. Cheese, they know what to do with, but milk, they don't know how to swim. So Shmedel and Bedel, the two mice, Shmedel says to Bedel, there's no hope. There's no hope. So Shmedel puts on his gartel, he says vidui, you know, says Shema Yisrael, and that's it. He sinks to the bottom. But Bedel says, no, I'm not giving up hope. I'll just keep gasping for air. And Shmedel says to him, what are you doing? Just lay down and die like me. You gasp. Eventually you're going to give in anyway. Just give in. No, Bedel kept jumping. So he went, fell to the bottom of the milk. He jumped with all his might to the top. He got some air, fell to the bottom of the milk, jumped again. And jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. And may have no koyach. By the time he's just when his koyach was finishing the end, all of a sudden, the milk congealed and turned to cheese. it's a silly little maisala, but actually it's a very profound message. And the profound message is Kavil Hashem. Your hope is running out. Kavil Chazek v'yametz libecha. You get even stronger. And then you audaciously keep hoping. Because when our hope is in Hashem, in the end, we will always be victorious. In the end, we will always see the light, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, at the end of the tunnel. The Eibush is a helfen, the Jewish people have had enough hope for long enough. Like, let our hope finally come to its hopeful conclusion with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'zeis Hashana, u'b'mheira, u'b'yameinu. Amen.